Hello, Craig.
Craig made it. It's Sunday night. We're recording. It's Mother's Day.
And guess what? I got a new microphone. So if you can't tell, I probably sound a lot better.
You sound a lot better. So episode 30. We're at episode 30, the big 30.
Damn, this is episode Tresenta. Perfect for Cinco de Mayo this week.
Yep, Cinco de Mayo, Mother's Day. My grandpa turns 101 on the 12th, so I went and saw him today. King shit, man still rules.
That's crazy. Your grandpa told you that he's officially started over from birth years. He's not counting any years after 100.
Yeah, he said once it rolls over, like, now he's back at one. So when he was... If he said something, if he, like, joked at someone today, he was like, sorry, I'm being colicky, I'm only one. And for a 101-year-old man to be able to be joking like that, like, that's some good shit.
Right. Hell yeah. Congrats, Gramps.
Yeah, way to go, Grandpa. Shout out to the moms today, because it is Mother's Day. So, we're not going to skip too much time, because we got a lot of stuff over the next few weeks. We decided to take the slowest part of the football offseason and turn it into a very busy time for us. So hopefully, listening to it will help you feel more prepared going into next year. But we'll get into that in a minute. Let's talk a little bit about the rookie draft that we had for one of the dynasties that we started up in this year.
Yeah, for sure. And you remember in, what was it, 4 or 5 episodes, we were kind of mocking like what my pick 2 round... round 2 pick 10 pick would be. Well, I ended up trading that pick and I got a third and a fourth round pick. So I ended up getting two picks this draft, which I thought was good. I took some sleepers and of course I took two tight ends. I took Jelani Woods and I took Ruckert just to stash them. I think Jelani Woods, of all the tight ends this year, I think is going to get some playing time in his first year versus some developmental players.
I feel like Jelani Woods is a great taxi squad guy. Sit him there for a year. He doesn't count against your roster total. See what happens.
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective because I kind of forgot about that taxi squad thing.
Sit his ass there for a year and don't think about it, you know?
Right.
And then,
but more importantly, let's talk about what you did because you had, I don't know what, 12 picks, 10 picks.
So we did this startup draft in February and we drafted kickers as placeholders for picks. So I decided to go kickers pretty early. I made a couple trades. So I ended up with, a lot of capital. So I made out like a bandit. I ended up with Treylon Burks at the 1-3. That's my wide receiver one, and that's my second best player in this draft class. Treylon Burks, getting him at 1-3 is great. Drake London went next, so I went Garrett Wilson at 1-5. So I got Burks and Wilson. I ended up trading back a little bit and still getting Jahan Dotson at 1-10, a player that we talked about last week that I like a lot. And then George Pickens at 112, like, it's dynasty, man. Fuck some running backs. I'm just going to keep drafting who I think is the best valued player. So I ended up with Burks, Wilson, Dotson, and Pickens at the end of the first. And
that's crazy.
Well, I had some more picks in the second, but I ended up trading out of 3 picks. I traded all my second-round picks, and I got back a second in 2024. And Kadarius Toney. So then at pick 3-7, I got Brian Robinson from Washington, the running back, who I think has great opportunity next year. And then Pierre Strong for New England, who I think is going to be the next James White. So,
interesting.
So we had a lot of fun. I love this strategy. I'm really going hard on 2024 picks. And I'll tell you why. It's because...
Well, you already have my 2024 first pick.
But here's the thing about that. Everyone knows 2023 is supposed to be the bomb class. But if I have picks in 2024 and a bunch of them, I can use those to get different picks in 2023, take them where they are in 2024, or trade out into 2025 if that class looks better. Like, it gives me 3 years of value. So I like 2024 picks a lot right now.
Yeah.
So that was fun. Just wanted to catch people up. We had a good time. And now I'm in another startup, but that's a nightmare for another day. So
yeah, you can outlay that league next week.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I still haven't drafted a guy over the age of 26 yet, and we're in round 16. So doing all right.
Did you get a running back?
Yeah, I find that my first running back was Tyler Algier in like round 14.
Okay, at least you got someone.
I got Chase Edmonds too.
Okay.
Moving on. We're gonna talk a little bit about just all the football teams. We decided that
this is gonna be the start of our the next four episodes, including this one.
Yep.
We're going to go through all the teams, how they drafted, what we think about them, any changes, you know. We're just going to go through some of the teams since it's kind of a slow area now for the next little bit in the football season.
Yeah. So what we did was we each took a division and we pulled up each team, talked about coaching changes, new players, players that left, what their draft looks like, and then we're going to talk a little bit about what the offensive and defensive schemes are going to look like next year as of right now. So, obviously things can change, but this is kind of our primer and our baseline so that we can catch everybody up on all the news. Because, in case you didn't notice, it was a crazy fucking offseason, and we all probably missed some stuff. Stuff that we're going to wish we knew when next year starts.
Right.
So we each did the South divisions for a conference. So, Ryan, let's get this stuff underway, man. Like, let's try to see how deep we can get with some of these teams. Do you want to start or do you want me to start?
Yeah, sure. I can start. So I did the AFC South this week. I think I just picked it mainly because I wanted to talk about the Jaguars a little bit. I always get excited every year about the Jaguars, and they always disappoint me horribly. So, but I'm not going to start with the Jaguars. I'm going to start with the Houston Texans.
Okay, that's my new favorite, my new AFC team, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. Go Texans.
Okay. So, let's just start. But there's a crap load of new players this year. They did, I think of all the teams that I researched in this division, they had the most additions in free agency. And they also had, nine draft picks? Yeah, nine draft picks.
Houston lost Tyrod Taylor. They lost Terrence Mitchell, the cornerback. They lost A.J. Moore, their cornerback. They lost a bunch of secondary players, to be honest. They lost Justin Reed, who was a starter. But yeah, they signed a lot of dudes.
So other than Davis Mills, who I think they're most likely rolling with at quarterback, I think that's what Lovie said, they also added Kyle Allen and Jeff Driscoll at quarterback.
Ew.
Some other players that they added, you know, defensive, they added Cedric Obut. Ogbukwe at tackle.
Yep.
Malik Collins, they added Desmond King, Farrell Brown at tight end.
Okay.
Justin Britt at center, AJ Cann at guard, Terrence Brooks at safety. AJ Cann actually got a 2-year $10.5 million contract. Malik Collins got a 2-year $17 million contract. Those are just the big ones at note.
Yeah. So these are like bridge players in their rebuild.
Right.
Like, a lot of these guys won't get extended, but like they'll be here for the next couple of years.
Right. So they did a lot of work in free agency. But I don't think anyone else in free agency of note. But I don't know. Should we go to their draft?
Yeah, let's talk about their draft, because they had a pretty good draft, I think.
Yeah. Round one, pick number three, they took Stingley, cornerback from LSU. They also had a second round one pick, number 15. They got Kenyon Green, a guard, Texas A&M. Round two, pick 37, Jalen Petrie, safety from Baylor.
I love that pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Round two, pick 44. They got John Metchie. I mean,
yep.
That could be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Round three, they had pick 75, Christian Harris, cornerback from Alabama. Round four, pick 107. They got Tony's boy, Damian Pierce, from Florida. Round five, pick 150, Thomas Booker, defensive back from Stanford, or defensive tackle, sorry. Round five, pick 117, they got a guy I talked about, Mr. Teagan Quitoriano, tight end from Oregon State.
That's your boy.
So I'm interested to see what happens with him. And then they're with their last pick of the draft, round six, number 205, Austin DeCoulis, a tackle from LSU.
All right.
So, I think the Texans are still going to be the shitty Texans this year, unless Mills can turn up the heat at quarterback. I don't know how else their team's going to get going. They got a brand new coach, even though he was there last year in a defensive role. I don't think it's going to be like flip the switch and Texans are all automatically going to be above 500 this year. To be honest, look at their running game. They have Marlon Mack, Rex Burkhead, David Bugawale, Damian Pierce. I'm not expecting too much from their offense this year.
I like what they're doing though, because they know next year is the quarterback year. And so they brought back Cooks. They gave Cooks a contract extension. They have Nico Collins on the outside. Now you've got John Metchie. Like,
right. And if this team does anything, I think their defense is going to be the highlight of this year, if anything, over the offense, just because they're free agent pickups and
You know, Lovey, they're going to run cover two, and you don't really need a great cornerback in cover two, but I think that says to me that they're like, they found the cornerback that's going to be able to fit in this system, but then the next system when they bring in another guy and get rid of Lovey when they're ready to push for a title.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't really know what else we can really say about the Texans this year. I don't have too much else to say about them.
What's the best case scenario for Houston this year?
I think the best case scenario, like I was saying, is their defense is going to help them win some more games. And if they get to, if they win seven or more games, I mean, that's probably the best case scenario.
Sure.
The worst case scenario is that like Davis Mills gets hurt and the team just falls apart and they become another Jacksonville.
Well, you know, you could argue that could be a you might switch those, that their best case scenario would be to lose and get the first overall pick so they can get one of those quarterbacks next year. Worst case scenario is if they're 7-10 and they don't make the playoffs and they can't get any of the good QBs. Like, right. I think Houston's just a team where they're kind of just throwing a bunch of shit at the wall and seeing what sticks.
And I think that's what they're going to have to do for a couple of years until they can find those solid players.
Yeah, you're not kidding. All right, so Houston, check them off the list. 31 to go.
My prediction for Houston this year is, let's see, I'm going to say 6-11.
Okay, 6-11. All right, so here's my first one. I did. I'm going to start with the New Orleans Saints.
Sure.
Last year, the New Orleans Saints went 9-8. You might have heard Sean Payton retired. You also might not have known that they just promoted their defensive coordinator to their head coach position. So Dennis Allen is their head coach now.
What was that thing everyone was saying about Payton leaving and it being like an open door for him to come back next year or something like that?
I've heard a bunch of different stuff. It was kind of weird how he kind of left.
Yeah.
So no one else in the staff really did anything. Like, everyone just kind of stayed where they were. Their offensive coordinator stayed, and so that's pretty much it. All they have is like a new wide receiver coach. So it's really weird because usually a new regime bring in new guys, but the Saints are keeping it very like everyone's staying here.
Yeah, that is weird.
A couple of big names left the Saints this offseason. Malcolm Jenkins retired. Terron Armstead, one of the best tackles in the league, went to Miami. And then Marcus Williams, who was also like a top-tier safety, ended up going to Baltimore. So they signed Marcus May. They signed quarterback Andy Dalton, quarterback extraordinaire. Defensive end Taco Charlton. And then the most recent one, I think, is a huge play. They signed Tyrann Mathieu as a safety. So he's there. I think they signed him to a 2-year deal. And one of the things that Paul Allen did say was, or sorry, one of the things Dennis Allen did say was that Taysom Hill's going to be a tight end. So,
right.
So,
but he's still probably going to be involved in those trick plays, though.
Yeah, which, but there'll be less of that because it's not Sean Payton, right?
Yeah, true.
So, one of the big questions is Michael Thomas ready to play? I hear different things all the time.
Yeah, now the narrative that's coming out that I've been hearing is that like he doesn't have a bad relationship with the team. It was just a really bad timing surgery or something like that. But I feel like that's not true.
I mean, we'll see. But I will say, if he comes back, like Jameis, Thomas, and Olave, there's a lot of experience there, man. Like,
yeah.
Last year, Jameis was on pace to throw 30 touchdowns before he got hurt. And his top receivers were Alvin Kamara, Marquez Callaway, Deontay Hardy, and Traquan Smith.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not good. And if he has better receivers, I think they have a lot of bounce back potential. Kamara led the team in receptions. Do you know how many receptions Kamara had last year? It's not good.
No.
47.
That's it?
Yeah, he averages 80 plus.
Has he ever gotten over 100? I feel like he's gotten a lot more than that.
No, he had like whatever number it is, catches, he had the same exact number 3 years in a row. It was like 88 catches 3 years in a row.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, anyways, bounce back potential from the offensive scheme. As for their defense, since all the coaches are the same, it's going to look the exact same. Marcus Williams, the safety, played the second most amount of snaps on their defense last year. So losing him is, you're losing a guy that's always out there. And
yeah.
Dude, quarterback passer rating against him was 54%. Like, he was killing it.
Really?
Yeah. Mathieu is a downgrade from Marcus Williams when it comes to coverage, but he's an upgrade, but because you can put him all over the field.
Yeah.
If their rookie cornerback hits, the defense is real good. Last year's defense had 46 sacks, 18 interceptions, and forced 13 fumbles.
Really?
Yep. They allowed the fourth fewest points last year, even after they lost their quarterback to injury. Just stopped working in, like, Thanksgiving.
Huh.
So, that's the New Orleans Saints, my friend.
Yeah, they're going to be interesting this year. I feel like they're definitely going to do better than Atlanta, but We'll see. We'll see. Atlanta, some things could just click, I guess, maybe in Atlanta, but we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that later.
We will.
All right, so going back to the AFC South, let's talk about Indy.
Okay.
So last year, surprisingly, Indy was only 9-8 with the way Jonathan Taylor played. And
They missed the playoffs.
I know. Carson Wentz had some good games, surprisingly. And even with Jonathan Taylor, they could only be 9-8. They're still rolling. Frank Reich is still there. He's been the head coach since 2018. Was the new Gus Bradley is the new defensive coordinator?
Okay.
I think he's the new defensive coordinator. Sorry.
It's okay.
Anyways, he's the D coordinator this year. The biggest person that left, obviously, is Carson Wentz. They replaced him with Matt Ryan. So I think that gives like a 40% upgrade to their passing game outside of what Wentz was last year.
Sure.
I mean, you think he'll go to the Hall of Fame? I mean, he's been playing long enough.
I think he shouldn't, but I think he also should.
Okay. So outside of Matt Ryan, they got in free agency, they got Stephon Gilmore, cornerback.
Nice.
Bumped to their defense. Let's see. I mean, I guess it could be a bump to their defense, but I do have a stat here that says quarterbacks completed 68% of their passes against Gilmore as a prime defender last year. He signed a 2-year, $23 million contract, too.
Yep.
So, we'll see. They re-signed Mo'Ali Cox, 3-year, $18 million deal. The real big question here is, does T.Y. come back? I think T.Y. got a little excited after the draft and after all this free agency. And I think he's thinking about coming back. The last thing I checked was that he's mulling coming back, which could be good, because right now all they got is Pittman and round 2 pick number 15, Alec Pierce.
Right.
And a bunch of scrubs. So if T.Y. came back, oh man, that offense, that team's got a chance to get at least 11 or 12 wins and make the playoffs this year.
Okay.
But let's go to their draft. Like I said, they picked Alec Pierce. Then they didn't have a pick until round 3, number 73, my man Jelani Woods from Virginia. Even though that offense, I think they have like 5 or 6 rostered tight ends right now. Not all of them are going to make the cut into the season. Jelani Woods.
As a third round pick is decent capital, you know, like they contribute to the team.
Yeah. I hope he at least becomes the tight end two this year. Let's see, round 3, pick 77. They got Bernard Raymond, outside line. Round 3, number 96, they got Nick Cross from Maryland, safety. Round Raymond 5.
Raymond was supposed to be a good value where they got him.
Really?
Yeah.
77 overall?
Yeah, he was a guy that was supposed, he was ranked in the top 40s and 50s for a lot of people.
Okay.
I saw him mock to the Bears a lot at 48.
Really?
Yep.
48? And they got him 30. Yep. They got him 30 picks later?
Yeah.
Wow. Round 5, pick number 159, Eric Johnson, D-line, Mississippi State. Round 6, number 192, Andrew Ogletree. Tight end, Youngstown State. I don't know a lot about him. I'm surprised I didn't look at any of his film. Did you know anything about him?
No.
Obviously, he's from Youngstown State, so we'll see. Like I said, the Colts have infiltrated a lot of tight ends this year. round six, number 216, Curtis Brooks, D-line Cincinnati. And their last pick, round seven, number 239, Rodney Thomas, cornerback from Yale. I'm really excited for Indy this year. I'm excited to watch some of their games. I mean, come on. It's good. If the only way I'm not going to be excited about it is if Taylor gets injured. I really hope Matt Ryan stays the same Matt Ryan that he's always been and just slings the ball. Dude, even when
if Matt Ryan is like half as good as Matt Ryan was, like, it'll be way better than Carson Wentz. Oh my God.
Right. Pittman, Pierce, Matt Ryan, Jonathan Taylor, Jelani Woods. There's a lot of promise out there. And especially if they're playing against the AFC South, you know, I mean, that's going to be good outside of playing Tennessee. We'll talk about Tennessee later. But who knows? Indy could give Tennessee a run for their money this year, especially if Derrick Henry doesn't stay healthy. I mean,
Yeah, and we got to also acknowledge that they have one of the best offensive lines.
Yeah, that's true. Matt Ryan. Yeah, I mean, have we ever seen Matt Ryan play with like a really, really good offensive line outside the year they made it? Was that 6-7 years ago they made it to the Super Bowl?
Well, that's the year he played with the best line he's ever played with.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought.
So, I think the Colts have a strong case to be a playoff team this upcoming season.
The only downturn, their defense. I mean, they didn't do too much in free agency in the draft in terms of trying to get that Super Bowl winning defense. I think that's going to be their downfall this year. They could be one of those teams that puts up 28 points, but the other team gets 31. Just how like Detroit was last year. Got a lot of close games, but you got to win it. And then,
okay, so you're seeing a positive regression offensively, and then a
yeah. But I'm also thinking their record is better than last year. I'm saying 11-6.
Okay. I like it. It's a bold prediction.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I think it's attainable.
I think it is too. I mean, they have an easy division, and I think the offense clicks. I think they have a lot of ways to beat you, and I think the defense might play not as good, but they'll play decent. They'll play good enough to win more often.
Jacksonville and Houston. That's 4 wins right there. I mean,
pretty much.
Yeah.
All right. So next up, let's do. I'm gonna do the Carolina Panthers.
Okay.
Keep pounding. The Carolina Panthers were 5-12 last year. Somehow Matt Rhule is still the head coach with a career record of 10-23, which is
How is that even possible?
They just blamed it all on the offensive coordinator and fired him. The next offensive coordinator is Ben McAdoo. From the Giants. A guy who met Ben McAdoo benched Eli Manning and broke his career game started streak at like 200 plus.
Oh my God.
This guy's a fucking idiot. So get ready, Panthers fans. You lost. Stephon Gilmore went to the Indianapolis Colts. Hassan Reddick went to Philadelphia, he was their best edge rusher last year. And then, so for all of these, I write down like the position, the guy's name, and then in parentheses where they went. And so it says QB Cam Newton, and then in parentheses it just says bad. Cam Newton has left to bad. Fuck Cam Newton. All right, so the Panthers did not have their second round pick this year because they used it to acquire Sam Darnold, a move which looks terrible in hindsight. But pick six of this year, they went tackle, and they went with Ike Ekwonu from NC State. And then they went Matt Corral at pick 94. Ironically, they traded up. Like, they traded up quite a bit to get Matt Corral. They traded, like, 40 picks up. So, go figure. Carolina, I don't know what the fuck they're doing. I don't think they know what the fuck they're doing.
No, they don't.
They went defense pretty much the rest of the way with their later picks. Linebacker from Penn State, a defensive end from Virginia Tech. They went offensive line, and then they went defensive back from Baylor. So, let's not talk about guys that don't matter. Let's talk about the fantasy shit that you're here to figure out. What is the offensive scheme like for the Carolina Panthers in 2022 other than, like, monstrously depressing?
Other than just running Christian McCaffrey?
Okay, so I have good news for you if you're a Christian McCaffrey. Ike Ekwonu is the absolute best run-blocking offensive lineman in the draft.
Really?
Yeah, as a tackle. Like, he's going to add fantasy value to Christian McCaffrey. He's going to add fantasy value to whatever running back is playing in Carolina. Like, he's a beast.
Yeah.
So I looked up, like, McAdoo offenses, and it's usually, like, three-step drops, usually out of the shotgun. They do a lot of no huddle, and they run a lot of screen passes. It's kind of a conservative, like, short passing game deal, but they want the quarterback to make quick calls and rely on break tackle. So last year he was in Dallas. So he wasn't the offensive coordinator, but he was working with the offensive coordinator. So who knows if he's going to incorporate that stuff, whatever. McCaffrey's back. It's a ball control offense, and Christian McCaffrey is great at breaking tackles, right? So if they can, like, make it so that Sam Darnold doesn't have to do too much and just kind of manage the game, I think they're going to be they can do okay. They're not going to do good though. Terrace Marshall is terrible. Just fucking terrible. They need him out of the slot. They need Shai Smith out of the slot. DJ Moore had 17 targets on but honestly, like, they could have gone receiver in the first round, defense in the first round, but they went tackle. So I think they're really trying to, they're going to go for their quarterback now. If they don't corral it.
But okay.
We'll see what happens. I mean, they gave Corral third round draft cap. They're going to take a good look this year and see the guy. Okay, so in the Carolina defense, they just have some position coaches. Like, there's Sherwood. Still Phil Snow. Like, it's the same defensive coordinator. He runs a 4-3. And then there's players like Jeremy Chin on this defense, Southern Illinois University. He can play, like, slot cornerback, safety, linebacker, can do all kinds of stuff. Before Carolina's offense completely hit the shits last year, they had, like, one of the best defenses in football, and then it started happening.
Yeah, I remember that.
So if they find themselves playing with a lead next year, I think they're a danger. Like, get sacks, takeaways. They had 39 sacks last year, which isn't a ton, but the injuries, I think, really, really hurt their defensive production. They forced 14 fumbles. Dude, this is going to depress you. They only had 9 interceptions.
That's it?
Yeah. So,
that's like half an interception a game.
Right. I don't think Carolina does much this year. I think Carolina is...
Prediction for their record?
I think there's a chance that they take a step back and they go 4-13.
Ooh.
They're bad, dude. They're fucking bad.
Do we think Christian McCaffrey plays more than 12 games?
Yeah. Yeah, I think yeah. so. Yeah.
Think he's got his robot legs and arms
good to go. I think he'll be healthy. I mean, he's had plenty of time off.
This has got to be the season.
If not, they brought in Donta Foreman for one year.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Hell yeah.
All right, Ryan, who's next?
I'm going to save the Jags for last. So we'll go, we'll talk some Tennessee. AFC South champs last year, made it to the playoffs. They were 12-5. They still have Mike Vrabel as their head coach for this year. No need to get rid of him. He did fire a bunch of their assistant coaches, former head coach of the Saints, Jim Haslett. Okay. He's gone. And then a bunch of their assistant. There was four guys that were assistants. The big one though was Jim Haslett, the linebackers coach.
Sure.
But the real narrative though is, I mean, that crazy trade players that leaving this year with AJ Brown. I mean, I couldn't believe that happened, honestly.
Yeah, man. Tell me about it.
But it makes sense. I mean, for a team that's going to rush the ball 30 times a game, why do you need to pay a wide receiver $25 million a year? You know, I think that's what he was trying to get, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he obviously went to the teenage wasteland out in Philadelphia. We'll see what happens with his role out there. I don't think he's going to do as well as he did with the Titans. Not with Jalen Hurts thrown to him. They also lost Julio Jones.
That's fine.
But they made up for it. They picked up, you know, Bobby Trees. They got a first-round wide receiver who we'll talk about in a second. They added some depth to running back. They grabbed Dontrell Hilliard. They also added Austin Hooper, 1 year, $6 million deal.
What do you think about that? Do you like Hooper there at all?
In Tennessee, yeah. Because, I mean, who else do they have other than Swain and Firkser?
Oh, Firkser's not there anymore.
But he got traded too?
We'll talk about it.
Shit. I forgot that one. They got a new center, Ben Jones, 2 year, $14 million contract. But let's go to the draft and we'll go. Their first round, pick 18, they grabbed Treylon Burks. So,
let's go.
I know. That's going to be awesome. I think, you know, that kind of justified once they picked up Robert Woods. I mean, they should still have a decent receiving core. Like I said, they're still going to be a run-heavy team, but those guys should be able to get the job done. Treylon Burks should translate well into the NFL, especially with the Titans, where it's not a super pass-heavy offense, and he's not going to be put in a lot of situations where he's going to have to make crazy plays as a first-year wide receiver. And, you know, so a lot of times those guys get in those situations, and they're expected to do a lot, and just the pressure gets to them, and they drop a lot of balls or something, you know. Or they just get the jitters, you know.
Do you think that Burks is just expected to do the AJ Brown role from day one?
Yeah, I think right off the bat. Yeah, that's why they grabbed him. Yeah. Okay.
So then, I mean, if he gives you 75% of what AJ Brown gives you, does the upgrade with Bobby Trees make the offense better? Because Bobby Trees is a better number two than.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're both gonna work very well together, I think.
I really like also they drafted Kyle Phillips from UCLA, who's a pure slot receiver.
Round 5, pick 163, yeah. Kyle Phillips.
He had a lot of Hunter Renfrow comps.
Right. Yep. Yep. Round 2, pick 35. Roger McCreary, defensive back from Auburn.
I like that pick a lot.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't do a lot in the defense with their draft. They still had, I think, 9 picks. Round 3, number 69, they got Nicholas Petit-Ferrer, offensive tackle.
Yeah.
Tony's boy from Liberty, round 3, pick number 86, Malik Willis. Round 4, pick number 131, Hassan Haskins, running back from Michigan. Round 4, pick 143, Chukwuza Okonwu. I don't even know how to say it. Tight end from Maryland, someone we talked about earlier.
Chig Okonkwo.
Yep. Round 5, number 163, Kyle Phillips, like we said earlier. Round 6, number 204, Theo Jackson, defensive back from Tennessee. And their last pick, round 6, number 219, Lance Campbell, linebacker from Ole Miss. Okay. I do want to also point out that the Tennessee Titans re-signed Randy Bullock. I mean, after Sam Ficken got injured last year, Randy Bullock took over. I don't know why you would re-sign this kicker. He was 8 of 13 from field goals between 40 and 49 yards, and he only made one over 50.
Who, in the Ficken?
No, Bullock. Because Ficken got injured, and then Bullock came in, the last 5 or 6 games of the season?
I thought Bullock kicked well. I guess I was wrong.
No, dude. I hit 8 of 13, field goals 40 to 49.
I loved Bullock because he's just got a fucking beer gut.
Well, yeah, he looks like your favorite boy, Mr. Janikowski. He looks like Seabass.
He's a thick boy.
Yeah. But, I'm, like I said, this team is another potential playoff-bound team, as long as Derrick Henry stays healthy.
Who wins the division this year, Tennessee or Indy?
I don't know, man. Like, if Derrick Henry stays healthy, it's going to be Tennessee. But at the same time, Derrick Henry was only healthy for only half of last season.
And they still won the division.
And they still won. So That's going to be a coin flip, I think. Tell.
Okay.
That'll
be interesting to watch.
I think they're going to have some struggles in the pass game, losing AJ and Julio, especially because there's no chemistry between Matt Ryan, Treylon Burks. I don't think Matt Ryan's ever played with Robert Woods. There's going to be a lot for Matt Ryan to catch up on, but luckily he is NFL almost Hall of Fame quarterback, and he knows how to get things done, and that chemistry could develop pretty fast.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wouldn't be surprised if, like, in August we're hearing that, like, oh, Matt Ryan's new favorite target Treylon Burks, or new favorite target Robert Woods. Like, it wouldn't shock me.
You mean Tannehill?
Or shit, yeah. What am I talking about? I just talked about Indy. Yeah, I meant Tannehill.
Well, we were comparing Indy and Tennessee, so it makes sense to me.
Right.
All right. So
from a defensive standpoint, this is the only thing that could make Indy beat Tennessee, because I feel like Indy may have a one-up on Tennessee's defense this year. They got rid of that linebackers coach, they just didn't do anything in really free agency or the draft to make their defense better, I don't think. And it could falter because of that.
Okay.
I don't know if you have anything to add, but...
What do you think the record's going to be if you had to project for Indy? Or Tennessee, sorry.
If I had to project for Tennessee, I'm going to put them at the same exact record as I put Indy at, 11-6.
Ooh, okay.
Because those two teams, I think, are going to be a shootout for the playoffs this year. Is that, and by the way, if that happens, if both teams go 11-6, how does that work? How do they figure out? It's not, obviously, it's not going to be a playoff.
No, it's tiebreakers.
So the first tiebreaker will be how they did against the conference.
Yeah, it's common opponents, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that'll be interesting to see. All right, you ready for me to hop in? We can do Atlanta next.
Sure.
All right, the Atlanta Falcons, 7-10 last year. Not great. It's going to get worse. Ryan Pace is now their senior personnel executive.
Oh, God.
Arthur Smith is still the head coach. Nothing really changed in the coaching staff. This is like year two of the rebuild, so to speak. So they traded Matt Ryan. And so... Actually, quite a few guys left. Quite a few of their bigger names left. So Matt Ryan was traded. Dante Fowler went to Dallas, their edge rusher.
We obviously don't know what's going on with Calvin Ridley.
Calvin Ridley will be out for a year. Russell Gage went to Tampa Bay. Daron Harmon, their safety, went to Vegas. And then Foye Olakan, their linebacker, like their starting interior linebacker, went to Jacksonville. He was like their main dude. So their defense is going to be missing a lot of ideas.
Yeah.
They brought in Marcus Mariota, as we know. They brought in right tackle Chicago Fetty, which is a terrible move. Auden Tate was their receiver. Casey Hayward on defense in the secondary, I think, pick up. And they picked up tight end Anthony Firkser from Tennessee.
I forgot about that. I completely forgot about that.
That's why we're doing these, man, so we can remember this shit.
But I do know that Tennessee did re-sign Swaim, and who is a awesome DFS $4,500 player for when he catches that one touchdown he catches a year.
Absolutely true.
You just got to guess that week.
All right, so the Atlanta Falcons draft was Drake London. No, wide receiver. They got an edge defensive end, Arnold Ebukadi from Penn State, and then Troy Anderson, a linebacker from second round pick 58, Desmond Ridder at pick 74, round 3. The rest of the guys I'm not really interested in, except for pick 151 of round 5, Tyler Algier. If you've been listening to the show, you know I'm a huge Tyler Algier guy. I think this is a great fit. I'm super excited for the next couple of years. I think he's a first and second down guy. I think him and Patterson together is going to be super fun. So, what do you think about Ridder in Atlanta, Ryan?
I think he starts towards the second half of the season.
Yeah, you think he gets in there this year, huh?
Yeah, I do, because Mariota's either going to get hurt or he's just not going to be who they thought he was going to be, and they're just going to get frustrated with him. And I think the fans, it's going to be like one of those Chicago Bears situations where the fans are almost going to like dictate when this guy starts.
Okay.
You know, it's going to be like the fans are just pressuring him, and they just finally give in and they're like, fuck it, let's just start him.
Okay. I'll be interested to see how they handle it.
So, I definitely don't think Mariota plays all year. I don't think so.
So offensive scheme for 2022. So there's about 150 to 200 that were there last year going into this year. So there's no Calvin Ridley, Russell. So Pitts and London will be the guys.
I think Pitts has just had like his Julio Jones year like last year, where he had all these yards and just one touchdown. Like, you know, Jones had those years with Atlanta. Yeah. I think Pitts, I'm going bold. I'm saying Pitts gets five or more touchdowns this year.
I can see that easily. Arthur Smith offense loves the tight end position. So I see a lot of like London on the outside, Pitts on the outside, and then maybe like Firkser at tight end, like in line.
Maybe so for red zone, yeah.
So it's like technically a two tight end set, but not really because it operates more as a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Arthur Smith offenses are usually great. And now Mariota has literally two basketball sized motherfuckers on the.
Right.
You know how Arthur Smith, he ran the old like Derrick Henry Tennessee offense. I think you'll see a lot of those power off Tyler Allgeier. So I think Atlanta's going to be bad this year, but I think they're going to be fun.
Yeah, I think so too, yeah.
So defense, Atlanta's defense. Foye Olakan led the defense in snaps played, I think I said earlier. He also led the NFL in tackles last year, and he's gone. Casey Hayward's here to patch up the secondary. Hopefully some of the guys they added in give them a pass rush. Dude, they had 18 sacks last year.
That's it?
Yeah. They had 12 interceptions, and they lost 5 of those interceptions and 6 of those sacks to players that are now gone.
Wow.
So, listen to this cool shit, though. Dean Pease, their defensive coordinator, is like a dude that people are saying is like one of the next great defensive coordinators. Near the end of the season, it started to work. Like, so his scheme is good. It's just the players are bad. They forced a turnover in every single one of their last.
Oh my God.
So I think it's his scheme is good. He's just there as they're turning over the rock. They just need better players to play this scheme. So, I think Atlanta is going to suck this year, but I also think that their rebuild is going to take as people might think if their staff stays together.
Okay.
I think they're going to win 5 games this year. They might win 6, but I would say 5-12 or 6-11 is probably their most likely outcome. They might not have a chance to get one of those top quarterbacks, but imagine like a defense that's already showing it's to be a strongly coached unit, and then you add like one of the 2 or 3 best defensive players this year. It could be fucking awesome.
Yeah. So they're in the conference to try and do something.
And that's a team to look out for, man, because I think that they're going to be interesting in a couple of years.
Hell yeah.
So that's the Atlanta Falcons.
Nice.
All right, we have one more each. I'm sure we're running long, but who
cares? Yeah, whatever. All right, so let's move on to my Jacksonville Jaguars.
These are your boys.
All right. Solid 3-14 on last year. All right. Solid. That's a solid 3.
2 number one picks in a row.
Yeah. We'll get to that. Obviously Urban Meyer is gone after that media fiasco. We all know what happened. Not a good fit. And a lot of their coaching staff was gutted. Their new head coach, Doug Peterson, hired on a lot of guys that Which I'm actually excited about. He's basically a lot of these guys he's worked with at some point in his career. They hired a new offensive coordinator, Press Taylor, new defensive coordinator, Mike Caldwell, special teacher, Heath Farewell, and at passing game coordinator, Mr. former Detroit Lions head coach, Jim Bob Cooter.
Jim Bob Cooter, JBC.
Yeah, right? So, interesting coaching staff he put together. Some players that left Jacksonville, obviously, DJ Chark's now in Detroit. But one of the main guys who I'm super pissed about, but also ended up in a very good landing spot, Mr. James O'Shaughnessy.
That's your guy.
Naperville's finest outside of Garoppolo.
No, Garoppolo is Rolling Meadows, bro.
I thought it was Naperville.
No.
Anyways, O'Shaughnessy's from Naperville. He's gone. He's now a Chicago Bear, which I'm kind of excited about.
Yeah.
To see him play alongside with Cole Kmet. Who knows? That may translate into something. Now he comes back to his hometown. He probably grew up a Chicago Bears fan. Maybe that gives a little extra pep to his step and catches a few touchdowns this year. You never know. Because, you know, everyone keeps talking about Cole Kmet. They're going to be all over him. Who's going to be open? Mr. O'Shaughnessy.
Okay.
Some new players that Jacksonville added a lot of players in free agency and the draft. They got Brandon Scherff at guard. They got, let's see, obviously the big wide receiver, Christian Kirk. Four years, $84 million. Doesn't seem right, but
he broke the wide receiver market.
It better be awesome. They got rid of O'Shaughnessy, but they added Evan Engram. So, and we all know that Trevor Lawrence likes to pass to his tight ends.
That's true.
We'll see if that changes because of the whole new coaching scheme, but I think they're going to play to Trevor Lawrence's strengths and, you know, hopefully keep, you know, those tight ends rolling. They also added Zay Jones. Another one. And they re-signed Laquan Treadwell. We all know Treadwell, the second half of last season, was kind of good.
He was a guy that Lawrence looked to a lot.
Yeah. And they also signed in free agency Ryan Santoso.
Okay.
So, as you said earlier, Jacksonville had two first round picks. And they had the number one overall, and they went with, you know, the big guy defensive end, Trayvon Walker from Georgia. And then their second pick in the first round was a linebacker, Devin Lloyd. Then they didn't have a pick until round three. They did not have a second round pick. They took Luke Fortner, a center from Kentucky. Round three, pick 70. They took Chad Mumon, inside linebacker from Wyoming.
A really good pick.
A surprise pick, round five, 154, Snoop Connor.
Yep.
We'll see. They've got, you know, they still have, we got to see how ETN's going to do this year. We got to see how Robinson's going to, I'm kind of interested to see what they do with their running backs this year. You think it's going to be a split?
I think Snoop Connor's going to get touches.
Yeah?
Yeah. I also think, you know, because Robin got hurt in December, so he's got a ways to go. And
that's right. So he might not even play for, like, the first 4 to 6 weeks of the season.
Right. So I think Connor gets a lot of touches early on.
With round six, 197, they took Gregory Jr., quarterback from Kachita. Is that how you say it? And then they had round 7, pick 222, Monterick Brown, cornerback from Arkansas. They only had, they had 7 picks this draft.
Okay. Sure.
So, with that being said, I think, like, I'm always way too optimistic with Jacksonville, but this could be the year for Trevor Lawrence. They've kind of put together an interesting offense. Do you know anything about their line, their O-lines? Did they do anything to make that better outside of getting that center? Well, they got Brandon Scherff.
Yeah, so they put two guys on the offensive line, and I think what they're doing is they're positioning themselves to take the best overall offense.
Yeah, that's a good point. As long, I just really hope that this offense translates into something, because I always feel so bad for Jacksonville, and I hope they don't lose the conference this year. I honestly think that'd be my bold prediction for their record this year, 7-10.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. 7-10.
That's spicy, man.
Yeah. I think they're going to win some games that not a lot of people expect. They're going to get into a lot of situations, I think, this year where teams are not going to be, not going to think that they need to be as prepared going into playing against them.
Okay.
And they may just run some games that they, no one was expecting. Especially in the first half, or maybe even the first quarter of the season, where nobody knows really what they're doing, like we were speculating earlier, right. And they just put something together that is just 1-2 punch, and they're just getting it done. But okay. I mean, once teams figure that shit out, they'll adjust accordingly. But there could be a lot of surprises, and people might not know how to prepare for those games.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see. To see how competitive Jacksonville is.
I mean, they drafted let's see. Yeah. 6 out of their 7 draft picks were all defense. So, or no, sorry, 5 out of 7 were all defense.
Okay.
So they're trying to beef up their defense. I think. And they also re-signed Fatu Kouassi, and Olakun, and
yeah, Olakun's going to be a starting linebacker for them.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that sounds to me like they, because they also went high with linebacker Chad Muma. Sounds to and N'Kobe Dean, like right? N'Kobe Dean is their linebacker.
Yeah, and then.
Like, it sounds like they overhauled their entire linebacking.
Right. So could I don't know, man. It's tough to tell, but the Jags could actually. I don't say they're gonna make the playoffs, but we'll see. I mean, who knows? Who knows with the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I think stranger things have happened.
True.
All right, so this is our last one for the night. So sorry for running long, but we're not sorry. We're catching you up on everything. So, last but not least,
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They were 13-4 last year. So, Bruce Arians retired, surprisingly, after the season out of nowhere, and they put Todd Bowles to head coach.
But Arians is still in a front office job, though, right?
I think he's retired.
No, I thought he transitioned. Hold on. I'll look it up while you keep talking.
All right. So they have 2 defensive coordinators, but it doesn't matter because Todd Bowles is still calling.
Really quick, Bruce Arians, he retired from coaching, but he is now a senior football consultant for the Tampa Bay Bucks. So he's not retired. He's still working for the Bucks as well.
Okay.
But he's just not the head coach anymore.
Okay. So they lost a lot. their starting guard, Ali Marpet, retired. O.J. Howard went to Buffalo. Ronald Jones went to safety. Jordan Whitehead went to the Jets. Guard Alex Kappa went to Cincinnati. And then tight end Rob Gronkowski, question mark?
He'll be back.
Ndamukong Suh is still unsigned. Antonio Brown is yikes. And then Jason Pierre-Paul is, as of right now, a lot of those big name guys.
So they've tried. They're trying to plug the holes as they go. So they had quite a few picks. They traded back and still got defensive end Logan Hall, pick 33 overall. Luke Godke, the guard from Central Michigan, who tackled in college, is going to slide in, so they'll fill their guard positions. They got Rashad White, the receiving back out of Arizona State, pick 91. One of my sleepiest of the sleepers, Cade Otton, tight end, round 4, pick 106.
Yeah, that'll be a really, really interesting to see how they use him.
Cameron Braid is the only other tight end on that. They drafted a punter in round 4, Jake Camarda. And then they went cornerback, tight end, defensive end, the last 3 picks. So let's breeze through this offense. Tom Brady's the offensive coordinator. I mean, come on.
Yeah, right.
Most players are willing to stay to try to run it back. And Chris Godwin, who's going to be out for a couple first few weeks of the season. And, you know, who could forget one of their key offseason signings, Breshad Perriman. Losing both of their guards hurts, but they got key spots. So hopefully if they fill in well, all's good, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Russell Gage is a good signing, but let's be real, like Gronk being there is big for Brady.
Right.
So later on in the season I can see them getting super hot when Godwin comes back, and then you've got Evans, Godwin, Gronk, Fournette. So I think Tampa might start a little slow, but you never know because Tom fucking Brady.
Yeah.
Crazy shit. So all right. As it stands right now, the loss of Gronk, Antonio Brown, and O.J. Howard frees up about 200 targets on that offense. Gage will probably get 100 or so, but if Gronkowski doesn't come back, the question is who makes up for it? Because it could be Otten at tight end. It could be Rashad.
Yeah, that's true.
So we'll see what happens. I think it's Tom Brady. So I think they're going to be fine, but this team is old, and there's a lot of cracks in the, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
All right, so defense. Some of the older big-name guys are out and still unsigned, so I don't know if JPP or Sue return to the team. They're hoping Logan Hall can, like, do some of the pressure that's being vacated. The defense did really well last year. They had 47 sacks, 17 interceptions, and 16 forced fumbles. They still have one of the best run defenses in the league because they have Vita Vea, but without Paul and Sue, they're going to lose some of their pass. The secondary needs improvement, but overall, age is starting to catch up to the team as a whole. Like, I would say, and I think you'd probably agree with me, this is the last year of the Tampa Bay Super Bowl window.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're not going to have a chance next year.
No, this is it. So, they were 13-4 last year. I'm predicting them to go 12-5, and they win the division easily. So that's last thing I want us to do, I want us to do our fantasy. I want to do a fantasy team from the AFC real quick. All right, you ready?
All right.
So one quarterback, 2 running backs, 2 wide receivers, and a tight end. So my AFC South fantasy is Matt Ryan at quarterback, Jonathan Taylor at running back, Derrick Henry as my other running back, Brandon Cooks as a wide receiver, Treylon Burks as the other wide receiver. And then my tight end is Mo Alie-Kelly.
Damn.
So who's your NFC South fantasy team?
My NFC South fantasy team? Obviously, quarterback Brady. Christian McCaffrey. Leonard Fournette.
Over Kamara, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I went kind of bold with Chris Olave.
Ooh.
Also another bold, Drake London.
Wow.
And then a tight end, I went Kyle Pitts.
Very nice. All right. So we have done the South divisions. We're all business these couple weeks of catching you up.
Let's decide right now. What do we want to do? North, east, or what? Or west? Next week.
Let's do west.
Ooh, the west's gonna be interesting.
Which one do you want?
I'll let you talk about the AFC. We'll switch it up. So I'll do the NFC West. You do the AFC West.
All right. So then we'll see you guys back here next week.
Hell yeah.
Ryan, you got any closing thoughts?
Jacksonville makes the playoffs.
That's we're leaving right now. Good night.